Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
If your tank is empty and you're looking for inspiration, you could do worse than watch a little WWE wrestling. Our special guest today, Todd Jones, is quite a fan and an expert. He's written a terrific article called Five Lessons I Learned About Storytelling from Pro Wrestling. Yesterday I read it. Because it's online, it has videos embedded in it to illustrate his excellent points. And I watched about half an hour of high points from the sport dating all the way back to 1981. Most of the clips are more recent though. Todd is, besides being a real pro wrestler fan, Todd is known as the About Page guy, and he specializes in working with small and medium businesses with their content and copywriting. He's a prolific writer with a unique point of view and lots of talent and skills he uses to help his clients. Todd has experience in a wide variety of things from retail, grocery, vending, tech journalism, and ministry. He's great at building online communities. So we're going to talk about all that and more today. Welcome, Todd.
Hey, thanks for having me, David. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Thanks for that. So, gosh, we got so much to talk about. Let's jump in, first of all, to your five lessons from pro wrestling. I love that article. I love the idea. I haven't watched much pro wrestling, but after the clips I saw in your article, I may be watching more of it. Yeah, talk to me about how you got interested in this and what the lessons are.
Well, as far as pro wrestling, you know, when I was a kid, probably, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, I got into watching Georgia Championship Wrestling out of Atlanta. That was one of the few cable channels we had around the country in our hometown. And so, you know, I was introduced to people like Mr. Wrestling Number 2, Ric Flair, Tommy Rich, Austin Idol, Dusty Rhodes. And of course, you know, you had the heels who were the villains, and you had the what we call the baby face, the good guys. And so I guess, you know, you're a kid and your people are fighting, right? You know, we don't know it's staged. And so they're fighting and they're in a ring and they're grappling, and they had these outlandish personalities with a lot of charisma to go with it. And so, you know, I became a fan of the sport. Actually, a little thing, I mentioned Mr. Wrestling too, and I did not talk about him in the article, but the guy kind of emerged in the late 70s, and because he was from the Atlanta area, or at least he wrestled in the Atlanta area, he became a big he had a big fan and a guy named Jimmy Carter. You might remember the president at that time. He became a big fan of Mr. Wrestling too, and I think he even invited him to the White House at one point.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you've been watching this all your life, it sounds like, or at least since you were seven. But I know you're a big fan of storytelling. When I'm doing my social media posts, you always have really smart comments and enthusiastic ones. So what are the lessons you learned? What, over all these years, you boiled it down to five lessons. I guess your first one has to do with making people feel something, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking more and more in this day and age, in 2024, and people are writing content for their business. We've got to think less about pleasing Google and writing more for our audience. And I think it's breaking down in a dramatic fashion right now. And I call Google and everything like that the algo gods. That's my villain, my heel, if you will. And yeah, the algo gods. And you can throw AI at it, but I'm going to leave them out for this purpose. But Google is having some massive changes right now. And then they had a leak that came out earlier this week, and I'm not going to go into that, but that's all over the SEO community, digital marketing community. And I think we're moving to a place where they're going to be even more harder to please, I should say. So at this point, you need to be memorable. How are you memorable? Well, you help people feel something. And whether you're watching a movie, most of us remember watching Rocky. Who didn't want to run up the steps in Philadelphia with your arms up, you know, over your head like Rocky did, right? I mean, so you saw that, you said the Star Wars saga, which, you know, came out when about the same time, and I was probably watching wrestling at the same time. Everybody wanted to be like Luke Skywalker or Princess Leia fighting the resistance and so forth. That narrative continues to live on. And that is something that storytelling does for us, whether it's entertainment, music. Arkansas is a rich state of music heritage where I'm from. And most people know who Johnny Cash is. He's from Arkansas originally. And, you know, he was one of the best storytellers in, when it comes to music. But music in general, and it really doesn't matter the genre, although country gets a nod from a lot of people, being such a great storytelling venue is music. So movies, fiction, books, TV series, you know, I think, I don't know if it was you and I were talking about a series that we got hooked on in the last week and on Netflix, and a couple of them I'm watching at the same time. Yeah.
We did Furious, right?
And
the French one.
Yeah. I think I've watched a couple episodes, and that's a fascinating one. And, you know, I got into, and here's the power of storytelling, and I'm sure all of this is not accurate. I got into the Narcos series, Reger Narcos, which started in Colombia, and then they moved to Mexico, the Narcos Mexico. Now, I don't know how accurate all that is. They tell you that they did, you know, some literary license with it, you know, that they're not all accurate, but the overall plot line, I'm sure it is pretty close to accurate. And in the first Narcos, you have two DEA agents that were based on real life characters. I mean, you know, so, but it just draws you in and it makes you feel and it makes you ponder, I guess you might say, like I have pondered Narcos for quite a while now about the lessons in demand. What is in demand? It feels like right now, and I don't know if you feel this way or not, but copywriting is not so much in demand right now. I think it should be, obviously, but it feels like it's not in demand. But I said this, I hope I don't get your podcast banned here, but there's not much that's more in demand than cocaine. The demand, it's not really cocaine that's in demand. It's the vice, you know, so it's they, in both instances, Mexico and Narco and Colombia, they started with marijuana and they quickly went to cocaine because the profit was so much higher, made these guys billionaires. And they were essentially, you know, like any good country guy from Arkansas or Tennessee, that's really what they were in their countries. And they rose to heights because of the demand. So Narcos got me to think about demand, you know, and then it's kind of caused me to go back and revisit the classic P's of marketing, you know, the four P's. And, you know, but anyway, I'm sorry. I just went down a rabbit hole with you, but how you make somebody feel, it, you know, and I think in B2B, sometimes we kind of shy away from doing that. But reality is you're especially in 2024, whatever it is you're doing in B2B, there's already 100 people in the category, maybe 1,000. So you're just one of 1,000. How are people going to remember you? And then how it makes somebody feel, and that goes back to customer experience as well. And my friend Brittany Hodak is a consultant on customer experience, and I learned a lot from her. So how you make somebody feel can be extremely valuable for any business, especially with customer experience. So storytelling can do that.
Absolutely. I think we remember the stories that made us feel something. You know, we were talking about that series Furious on Netflix, and you feel a lot. I mean, it's pretty violent and pretty gory and pretty wild, but the characters and the narrative are really interesting and very memorable. All right, your second lesson from your article is there's always a villain. Now, that's a little tricky in business. I guess you could, you know, position your competitor as a villain. Sometimes what I like to do is position my prospect's problem as a villain, if I can turn it into, you know, if I can personify it, yeah, even better. What are your thoughts about villain?
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. What are the problems? And I think that's pretty, most marketers kind of go that direction. You know, I know a lot of people probably have read the Story Brand by, why is his name drawn like right now? You know what I'm talking about. Story Brand.
Yeah.
Donald Miller. Yeah. And he talks about the villain being, you know, the problem or the pain point. And it's a very accurate portrayal of the villain, the Ric Flair in your life. And right now, for me, I think a lot of people think that the Algo Gods are the villain because we have relied on trying to get ahead in Google for 15, 16, 17 years. And now it's just becoming harder and harder in general. And it's hard to be remembered. And it's not all Google's fault, but it's easy to say the Algo Gods. And not once has anybody asked me what I meant by that. Every time I say it, they get it. So that lets me know that I have chosen the right villain that a lot of people are feeling right now. And it's not just Google either, by the way. All the social media platforms have some kind of algorithm that has something to do with your visibility. So in general, whenever you are trying to promote your product or your service on one of these platforms, you are running up against that villain, that heel, you know. And so, yeah, that's pretty straightforward, I think.
I have noticed over the last couple of years, Google stopped sending people straight to your website and they just started posting snippets so you don't even have to leave Google. Mm-hmm. And now they're introducing AI-generated responses to further push people away from going to your website. Right. So Google's a perfect, for our people, Google's the perfect heel. Also, a lot of times when I'm writing, I'll pick an industry or an industry head. If I'm writing for supplements, maybe it's Big Pharma. If I'm writing for health and nutrition, maybe it's the corn syrup subsidies. Giving them somebody to say, the blame isn't completely on my shoulders. It's also on these guys' shoulders or these girls' shoulders. Maybe not my competition, but this particular industry has kept this secret from you because they don't want you knowing that their solution isn't as good as our solution. And so it doesn't have to be competition. Like if you're Coke, it doesn't have to be Pepsi. But if you're seltzer water, it can be the corn syrup and all the other drinks. So there's that as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think competitors is the best way to go unless there really is. I mean, that would be internal. I think if you're in internal meetings, you go, well, our biggest competitor is Pepsi. So we've got to go, you know, fight against Pepsi. But, you know, to your audience, it may not be. It may be something else. And, you know, in wrestling, there's always a face and almost always. So there are some exceptions to the rule. But you watch a match and there's almost always a beloved face, baby face, good guy, good gal, and always a heel, a bad guy, a bad girl. Now, once in a while, there'll be a rare exception where you'll have two faces against each other or two heels. It's a little confusing for the audience because they're like, who am I supposed to root for and who am I supposed to cheer for? But usually they'll choose one or the other. That's kind of a foreshadowing to another one down the road. So I'll save that for later on for that point.
Okay. And, you know, hand in hand with there being a villain is your third lesson, which is overcoming adversity. You want to talk about that a bit?
A long time ago, I believe that, you know, what makes a story, you know, so engaging, and there's a lot of things. It depends on who you talk to. There's science behind, you know, oxytocin and stuff like that. And I know all those, and I've read a couple books that have done a great job of breaking that down. But this is just the non-scientific observation in me. A story is best when there's something to overcome. Rocky wasn't even so much overcoming Apollo Creed as he was his own insecurities. You know, Star Wars, was it Darth Vader or was it the Republic? It was both, right? Sometimes the adversity is internal. Sometimes it's not another person, it's something else, you know. But whenever we get the most gratitude listening to it, I think, when we've watched the protagonist overcome, that creates that natural story arc, right? Where there was a climax and you overcome that part and you're going on the other side of that arc. That creates the most compelling story, in my opinion. Now, you can tell stories, stories that have, that are funny, that are inspirational. Sometimes they have nothing to do. Maybe they're persuasive, but they don't really have a natural story arc. And that doesn't mean they're not compelling. I just think that overcoming adversity is one of the hallmarks of what makes a story more engaging. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, you had an incredible example. It's, see how long this is. You have this 5-minute YouTube video, Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Cody is the son of Dusty Rhodes, the legendary Dusty Rhodes. And he got in the industry pretty young, and he got some success, but he got stuck in a character he didn't like. And so he left the WWE probably 8-9 years ago and kind of went out on his own and reinvented his character. He reinvented who he was, started the AEW, All Elite Wrestling. And I think it was 2 or 3 years ago at WrestleMania, he showed up in what he called, and I call as well, the worst kept secret in wrestling. Everybody knew he was coming. They had booked Seth Rollins for a match. He had no idea who it was going to be. I'm like, it's Cody Rhodes. I knew who it was going to be. And as soon as his music hit and he started coming, I mean, everybody in the arena is like jumping up and down, including myself. And so he comes in and he starts his ascent, and he actually gets injured later that year, tears a pec, which is really a very painful and gruesome looking injury. He did a brutal match with Seth Rollins later in the year with that torn pec, and immediately went and had surgery like 2 days later. So he had a rehab to come back, and he came back in January that next year for the Royal Rumble. He entered at 30 and won the Royal Rumble. It set him up for the world title match with Roman Reigns. Now, I'm sorry, what I should have said, when he came back, he gave this whole speech, this promo about why he came back. One of the reasons he came back was to win the top title, because his dad never won it. And even his brother, who was in a WWE a long time, never won the top title. So he would be the only member of the Rhodes family to win the top title. That was the reason he came back. That was the whole thing. So he wins the shot at the Royal Rumble. He wrestles Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, main event, which you get that opportunity if you win the Royal Rumble. And great match, but like so many Reigns' matches, you know, his family interferes and he loses the match. And it was deflating for fans, I think. But I knew as soon as it happened, I'm like, his dad went through similar storylines back in the 80s. I mean, I remember him like, oh, well, this is going to be even better because he's going to go through this whole process again. So in the summer, they matched him with Brock Lesnar, who is a beast. They literally call him the beast. He's a big, big man. He was a NCAA wrestling champion, so he's not just like a in-ring. I mean, the guy, he also won the heavyweight championship in the UFC. So the guy is a legit combat, you know, dude. And they had 3 matches in the summer, basically. And Cody won the rubber match, won his respect. He had to go through all that again, won the Royal Rumble again, and then he got to wrestle and beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania this year. They threw another monkey wrench into it, which is what you do in these situations. His Roman Reigns' cousin is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who everybody knows. And he comes back, and I actually think they changed their plans based on what the fans said. I think there's going to be a Roman Reigns versus Rock match down the road. But Rock came back and he's like, you know, he wanted to wrestle Roman. He wanted to wrestle Roman at WrestleMania in this big family affair. And the fans didn't like it. And they changed the playbook on the fly and Rock became a heel, a bad guy. And he started creating friction for Cody, including the whole 2 night of WrestleMania. It's in the article, but basically they made it like this impossible odds for Cody to win that match. And he did, with the help, you know, of some other wrestlers to help interfere on his behalf. And so it made this story arc, which was like 2 years long, you know, even sweeter at the end. And in fact, fans have pointed out, and I saw it too. When Cody was getting the pin, you could faintly see Roman Reigns smiling. He had his head turned. It was a slight smile because he was passing the torch to Cody Rhodes. But the story was brilliant, and the overcoming the odds was about as good as I've ever seen in wrestling. There's been others, but that was a good one.
Well, yeah, that was pretty vivid. It's worth reading your article just to watch that video, because, and again, I know I'd heard of pro wrestling, but I haven't been a big fan, but I really loved that. Hey, while we still got time, you have a coaching offer that you're going to make to our listeners and viewers. So you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a content coaching is what I call it. And really it's, you know, I have touched on every part of the content funnel, pretty much from writing blogs all the way to sales pages and emails and so forth. And, you know, I've done it a few times. And so some business owners, sometimes they just need someone to, you know, talk to about these things, like what should I do next? What are your advice? And, you know, I've been writing something for 15 years. And so I'll sit down with them. I've got two. One is a one-to-one on a Zoom call, like you and I are doing right now. I'll probably give you homework. So, and then I'll record it and create a transcript and you'll get all that. I've got another one I'm actually experimenting with now called Asynchronous. And it's basically like using email. I actually use a tool called Bonjoro, and I'll do a little video. It's like Loom. I'll do a little video and send it to you. And that one's kind of a pace deal. It's not one-on-one at the same time. It's like, you know, as you're going throughout your day. I'm experimenting with that offer, so feel free to do that as well. It's less expensive than the one-on-one coaching, but that's pretty much what we do with the content coaching.
Just kind of hinted at in this episode, copy marketing, a lot of it is changing. I'm seeing that content with a little bit of direct response, call to action, storytelling principles, using storytelling principles inside of your content, and then at the end of the content, having the call to action there, is quickly becoming one of the best tools that I have with my clients. And then also community building a community around the identity of the people. So content to a community, and then community to the offer is what pretty much across the board is making up for the fact that SEO is just dying. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree. And really what sold me on this, Mark Schaefer is the guy who wrote Content Shock 10 years ago. And he was like, you know, at the time, like, we've got probably more content than people can consume. That was 10 years ago, by the way. He put out a book in the last year about businesses creating community, and that being kind of the new marketing thing. I'm also in a Slack group of a group that promotes that. I agree with the perspective. What I'm fearful of is people trying to force community. Oh, we're going to get a Slack, or we're going to get a Discord, or we're going to get a Circle or Mighty Networks. And I'm on all those. We're going to create a community. It don't work like that. A platform helps, but, you know, it's got to have some feel of authenticity. So the example I tell is, you may have heard of her. I think her name is Taylor Swift. Do you know who that is? Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of her. Like
Yeah. Anyway, so to my knowledge, Taylor is not on Circle or Mighty Networks or anywhere else, but she has a raving community behind her.
Yep.
And when you go to concert, we talked about content experience earlier, right? When you go to a concert, you have a heck of an experience. My niece has been to two of them. I've known people to go. There's usually a guest performer shows up. You know, there's all this stuff. But anyway, there are all these communities all over the globe on all different platforms around Taylor Swift's music. None of them of which she has anything to do with. I mean, I don't mean that she doesn't. I mean, she didn't start those communities. You know, now, no brand is Taylor Swift. I get that. She's a big deal. But my point is, you know, you can facilitate and create community. I don't think every company needs to go out and get a Circle or a Mighty Network, you know, platform. Some should not. I don't have the answers to this right now. I hope to get Mark's book soon and listen to what he has to say, but you can build a community around a product or service. It may or may not be on one of those platforms. I'm actually thinking about starting a community myself, and I've just been thinking through that, how I would do it. And honestly, I was just going to set something up on my website instead of using one of those. But I do like Mighty Networks and I do like Circle. I'm in communities for both of those and they're great. And if you need that kind of help, that may be the way to go.
What's the name of that book, Mark Schaefer's book? You know what it's called?
Good. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's called Belonging to the Brand. I'm trying to pull it up here. And the subtitle is a hint, right? Belonging to the Brand, Why Community is the Last Great Marketing Strategy. So Mark, in his career, has been very emphatic, seems to know what's coming as well as anybody I've seen. And he talked about content shock over 10 years ago. We are beyond content shock now. And with the advent of LLMs, otherwise known as AI, people are putting out more and more content. I don't think the solution is putting out more content. I think the content we have, and you talked about storytelling and content, that's actually how I've always done it. We don't need more information unless you've got something brand new. We might need a different point of view. Like, hey, your storytelling is the lessons I learned from professional wrestling, you know, but storytelling in my kind examples, right? I have started this article idea a while back and I shared it with somebody, a lady who works at Spark Toro. And she said, hey, yeah, I think some examples of this, and this would be great. I'm like, yeah, every point should have an example. And sometimes marketers like to call, they don't like to say storytelling. They like to say anecdotes, right? This is an anecdote. Well, it's a story. I mean, go read David's book for heaven's sake. It's a story. You know, you're persuading somebody about their point, you know, and it's a story. But yeah, we use all these different words, anecdotes and analogies and all that kind of stuff. But it's a story. That's really what it is. But storytelling is the catalyst for community.
I think to your point, too, if you look at like Taylor Swift, she does have her own built community gatherings, the concerts. Her music is very much story based. Right. And the community that she's built is around the story, people that identify with the story in her songs. And I'm thinking of like Tony Robbins or Russell Brunson. Mm-hmm. They also, maybe they don't have a Slack channel, but they do have ClickFunnels Live and they have like their big events. So there is the story, the story about how self-improvement or the story that you're one funnel away or the story of heartbreak and finding new love.
Oh,
and then there's the community. And so they're doing exactly what you're saying. It may not be spelled out exactly the way that, and even WWF, there's community or WWE, there's community, there's story. So there's the combination of the two there as well. So I think that all of it kind of ties together really well.
Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover Comic-Con and wrestling because you'll find a lot of the wrestlers actually show up to the Comic-Cons.
Yep.
So, but see, when people go to Comic-Cons, the thing to do is 25 or 30% of the people or more will be cosplaying. They will wear a cosplay. So dress like their favorite costume character, whether it's a wrestler or Batman or Spider-Man or whatever they got. I've seen some here in Arkansas, and the Bane one was pretty cool. I thought that guy looked pretty good. So, you know, it's storytelling and community at the same time. And I think if you can get people to feel like they're in the same story, right?
Boom.
And we're all in this together, you know, so yeah, that's
100%. Well, okay.
Yeah, and the original storytellers, right? I mean the original storytellers, you know, sitting around the fire outside the cave, they had a community. I mean, the whole tribe was there. So they really do all fit together.
Todd,
the other thing I like to point to is that almost every I'm not trying to be religious here, but almost every religion, at least the three major religions, are all based around a book with stories in them. There's a strong element of storytelling in the books of the three major religions. So, and they're all community, right? So, mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we're out of here, Todd, where can people go if they want to learn more about you, maybe get in touch with you, maybe reach out for some coaching?
I am pretty active on LinkedIn these days, which, you know, that's part of where David and I connected. And I'm also on Twitter, T.E. Jones. I managed to pick that up very early on. So T.E. Jones is my Twitter handle. And I'm pretty active on Facebook as well. And then my website is copyflight.com. And that's pretty easy to remember. And like David said, I had a coaching. I've got a number of offers on there, but you know, the coaching, content coaching is the one that I was talking about earlier. And then I have an email list, an email newsletter I call Story Arc. So I went ahead and decided I'm gonna really go all in with the storytelling. And so I named the email. It used to be called the Digital Jukebox, and I really like that format. And I bring it back once in a while because I would lead with a lyrics from a song. And then sometimes the song would connect to a particular story, and then there would be a point. I don't recommend people do it because it's not easy to do, but it works for me. But I need to be a little bit better and more active, more intentional about how I do my emails. But yeah, that was I love the Digital Jukebox, and sometimes I'll bring it back and I'll do a lyrics from a song. But it's all about, the whole premise is kind of a story to a point and then an offer. Nice. Pretty much.
Okay, so we'll make sure to have the links to your website, copyflight.com, in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to check out the show notes, or you want to check out other episodes of the Copywriters Podcast, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. And David, anything before we're out of here?
No, just thanks to Todd. I appreciate it, and it was great.
All right. Thank you, Todd, for coming on. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Bye.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.